To James chapter 4. We've been in a series of the relationships of church. We see in Romans 12:5 and also in Ephesians 4:25 that we are, speaking of a body of Christ, we are members one of another. That speaks of a very close identification with one another, very close and connection, relationship, and bond. And we've looked the last several weeks at our responsibility individually to minister to one another, and we're taking that from the phrase throughout the New Testament, one another. And we see before that phrase there's a verb, something that we are to do, one to another. And this again is the responsibility of each member, unless of course one is incapacitated where they can't. But other than that, this is the responsibility of each member. We've seen so far, and we mention them every week, but lest we forget, we're to love one another. That, of course, is the foundation of ministry to one another. It's the foundation of everything we're to do. We're to serve one another, which is, again, to minister to one another. We're to be kind to one another. We've seen that's not just in words, but in action. We're to prefer one another to ourselves. We're to be of the same mind, one toward another. We're to edify one another, to admonish one another. We're to salute one another, which speaks of our way of greeting one another, and it shows honor and respect. To bear the burdens of one another. We're to forgive one another. We're to forbear one another. We see that we're to submit to one another, which has its basis in preferring one another. We're to teach one another. We saw this last week. And though not everyone holds the office of a teacher, it is the responsibility of each one to teach. And we do so by our actions and by our example. See, also we're to comfort one another, and that again, people get the wrong idea of comfort. That of course has to be in the realm of Scripture. It has to be within the realm of the will of God. We're to exhort one another. We closed last week, we're to consider one another, and that means more than just thinking about one another, though certainly that's included. We are to think upon one another every day, but we're to consider one another in everything that we do, how it might affect someone else. And that brings us to James chapter 4. We want to look at two phrases tonight, this one another, and both of them that we'll look at tonight is from the negative and presents a prohibition. In James chapter 4 and verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Speak not evil one another, brethren. Again, this takes the form of something that is prohibited. It means that we're to do If we're not to speak evil of one another, we're to do just the opposite. But what is evil speaking? The Bible has much to say, of course, upon the subject, particularly the book of Proverbs, and we'll be looking at many verses tonight. But under that heading of evil speaking, we could put talebearing. Proverbs has much to say about talebearing. And talebearing is the malicious, and that's the key, the malicious communication of secrets. It does not mean that if you know somebody is doing something that you're not to tell. That's not what it means. Again, malicious is the key. You do not do it in a malicious way. So talebearing is the malicious communication of secrets. You tell something because you want somebody to be in trouble. You want to see ill come upon them. That's tattling. That's talebearing. And again, the Bible has much to say about that. And because of who and what we are by nature, talebearing's a problem. Anytime you have a group of people, I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, talebearing is going to arise because it's in our nature. It's our nature to do that. Notice in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. So again, if we know that somebody is doing something, perhaps something that goes against the practice of the church or whatever, before we tell, you have to make examination of your heart. Why are you doing this? Why? Why are you telling? Is it for the good of the church? If so, that's fine. Is it for the honor of the Lord? If so, that's fine. But is it just to, again, get someone in trouble, to bring harm to them? That falls under the spirit of talebearing. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 16, that shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. So not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Speaking, of course, of Israel. Notice in Proverbs chapter 11, again, Proverbs has much to say about the tongue in general, speech in general, much to say about evil speaking. Proverbs 11 and verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets. Now notice a talebearer is the opposite of the next line, but he that is of a faithful spirit. So a talebearer and faithfulness don't go hand in hand. Keep in mind, the key to talebearing is maliciousness. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, here it talks about the harm that a talebearer can do. The words of a talebearer are his wounds. And may I say, they are not only a wound to the individual that is being told upon, but it can be a wound to many people. So the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They are as wounds. There is a physical wound, something that causes pain, something that can become a hindrance. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. It talks about an inward wound. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets.
Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Beware of the flatterer. Beware of the individual that just always interested in getting you to talk. Because chances are they're not that interested in what you say. They're interested in what they can gather to tell someone else. So we see, beware of the flatterer. Notice in Proverbs 26, Proverbs 26, verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. We've seen it many times. Strife is coming to an end, and then somebody comes along and tells something, and it starts all over again. It's like adding wood to the fire. So certainly talebearing would fall under the category of evil speaking. Another thing would be whispering, which of course is gossip, and again, it's malicious. It's malicious conversation about someone else. And you and I may say, well, what we're saying is true. But if it's malicious, it's wrong. Whispers, malicious gossip, true or untrue? Malicious conversation. Notice in Psalm 41, verse 7. So we need to always be asking ourselves, why am I talking? Why am I telling? Why am I talking about this person? What's my purpose? And we have to be honest enough to answer that question. Psalm 41, verse 7, the psalmist says, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise, here's that maliciousness, they devise my hurt. That is, they do so to cause harm to an individual. And James says, this ought not to be. We ought not to speak evil one of another. Then notice in Proverbs 16, and verse 28. A froward man soweth strife. And you look through Proverbs, you see strife is something that is sown. But what we want to see here is, and a whisperer, that is the malicious communication about someone, separateth chief friends, or separateth even the closest of friends. No matter what you say about another individual, you will find someone somewhere to believe it. And that's dangerous. That is more than likely true also in a church. If you talk bad about someone, more than likely, you will find someone who will agree whether what you're saying is true or whether it's completely false. You will find someone to agree. Again, we see the principle of this ministry is we're to treat others as we would want to be treated. Keep in mind that what you say about someone, someone will probably believe. Also keep in mind that what someone says about you, no matter how false it may be, they will probably find someone who will believe it. And that's why it's so harmful. That's why it's so destructive. And once they believe it, what do? They go and tell someone else who also will find someone to believe. Many have been damaged. Many pastors have been, once an accusation, this is why a pastor has to be so careful. Once an accusation is made, that man's ministry basically is ruined in that church. I'm talking about sexual impropriety, something along those lines, because some will believe it. Doesn't matter what it is. Some will believe it. And that's why we as individuals have to be careful that we do not put ourselves in that position to be even accused. And even if you can prove the accusation to be false, there will still be some who believe it. So, whispering. There's slander, which of course is simply the making a false statement. People will say all the time, well, I didn't know it was false. Well, you should have found out. Slander is making a false statement that is damaging to a person's reputation. Notice in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, that goes along with that flatterer that we would be wise not to meddle with, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. He's not a very wise individual. Then, of course, there's backbiting, which is, again, malicious talk about someone. So, evil speaking. We're not to speak evil one of another. By evil speaking, friends are separated. We've already seen that in Proverbs 16, verse 28, that a whisperer separates chief friends. And that may be the purpose and intent of the whisper to do that. In Proverbs 17 and verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. So we're not to speak evil one of another, because by evil speaking, friends are separated. We're not to speak evil one of another because deadly wounds are caused. We've already seen this in Proverbs 18 and verse 8, the wound of a talebearer. And then notice in Proverbs 26, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22, the words of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So by evil speaking, friends are separated. By evil speaking, deadly wounds are caused. By evil speaking, strife is stirred. We've already seen that in Proverbs 26 and verse 20, the talebearer, again, the wood to the fire. And there is discord is sown amongst the brethren. In Proverbs 6 and verse 19, it is an abomination to the Lord. They who sow discord among the brethren. So from all of this, we see that evil speaking is hurtful. It is damaging. It is very destructive. And that is why we're not to speak evil one another. For the sake of the body of Christ, we are not to speak evil one of another. But again, this evil speaking is very hurtful. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 18. Then said they, that is the enemies of the Lord, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. We want to bring evil upon Jeremiah. We want to ruin the ministry or hinder the ministry of Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue. Let us smite him with the tongue. That's what we do when we speak evil one of another. They couldn't find anything in the life of Jeremiah, so they said, let us say things about him. And let us not give heed. Let us not listen to his message. So we see this evil speaking is hurtful, it is destructive, and therefore it is called grievous words. In Proverbs 15 and verse 1, we read those words, grievous words, that is, painful and injurious words. Evil speaking falls under the category of grievous words, painful and injurious, destructive words. And James says we're not to speak evil one of another, to show the harm and to show the hurt and the destruction that evil speaking can do. We see that the tongue that speaks evil is said to be as a razor. Notice in Psalm 52, Psalm 52 and verse 2, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. A sharp razor cuts, causes injury. And we see the tongue that speaks evil is as a sharp razor. It's also as a sword. Notice in Psalm 64 in verse 3, talking about the wicked. We see the wicked are mentioned in verse 2, and then in verse 3, who whet their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Again, the tongue is the tongue that speaks evil of another is like a razor. It's like an arrow. So these individuals are dangerous. These individuals are destructive. The tongue that speaks evil is said to be as fire and as poison in James chapter 3, verse 6 and in verse 8. So this evil speaking of one another is not to be done. And we see this evil speaking of one another is a means of devouring one another. Keep in mind, we are members one of another. Why would my left arm want to devour my right arm? That would be a problem. And when there is members in a church that seek to devour one another, you have a problem. And it is a very serious problem. It is a problem that cannot be tolerated. It cannot be tolerated. There are a lot of things that we can overlook, but this is not one of them. It cannot be tolerated. It is a means of devouring. No, and it's something that we're all guilty of from time to time. We've all been guilty of it. There isn't anyone here that is completely innocent. There isn't any one of us that can stand up and say, I've never said anything evil about someone else. None of we'd be lying. It's our nature. It's in our nature. But we need to realize as members of a body of Christ how destructive it is. Notice in Galatians 5 verse 15. But if you bite, he's talking to members of church, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. That is, if you are devouring someone else, you better wake up and realize that others are doing the same to you. Do not devour one another. That's why we're not to speak evil one another. This evil speaking and everything that's included in it is a very fearful thing. Notice Paul writing to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 20. He says, for I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would or such as I would like, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envies. These are things that Paul said, I fear. I fear to see these things in a church. I fear to see these things in a body of Christ. Debates and envies, wraths, strifes. And where you have those four things, you have the next. Backbitings, whisperings, swellings, which speaks of arrogance, tumults, speaks of disturbances. Paul says, I fear that I'm going to find these things in the very church of the Lord. So James tells us that we're not to speak evil one of another. That means evil speaking is to be put away. And it's necessary to put it away. If we're going to do all the other things that we've mentioned up to this point, it's necessary that we put away evil speaking. Because people can deny it all they want to. But where there is evil speaking, there is not love. Where there is evil speaking, there is not kindness. Where there is evil speaking, there is not preference. And on and on and on we can go. Everything we've mentioned. Everything we've mentioned fails if this evil speaking exists. So it's to be put away. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, clamor's noise, goes along with evil speaking, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. We've already addressed that, be ye kind one to another. But you can't do that unless you put away the bitterness and the wrath and the anger and the clamor and the evil speaking. You have to put that away before you can be kind one to another. So it's no wonder that James says, speak not evil of one another, brethren. Again, this prohibition concerning one another is a reminder. And we need to constantly be reminded, because we all have the same problem. We all have this member in our mouth that causes a great deal of problem, that can cause more trouble in a church than anything else, the tongue. And we must be aware that we must be aware of the power and the impact of the tongue for both good and evil. Notice in Proverbs 18, Proverbs 18, and we'll read verse 21, speaking of the power and the impact of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We don't have time tonight, but you read James chapter 3, verses 2 through 8. And you see that even though the tongue is but a small member, it is a powerful. It is a powerful member. It can be powerful for good. It can be powerful for bad. And in most cases, or as far as the child of God is concerned, it's both. And that's why a fountain should not send forth both bitter and sweet waters. So we're not to speak evil one of another. That brings us to the book of James chapter 5. We have, again, this phrase, one another. And really, it goes right along with what we just read, speak not evil one of another. James 5, verse 9 says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Again, this is a prohibition concerning one another. Notice that this prohibition is in light of Christ's return and what you and I should be until Christ does return. Verse 8 says, be ye also patient Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And then he says, grudge not. So it's in light of the coming of Christ, and in light of the fact that we are to establish our hearts. And then he mentions again this coming of Christ in the form of judgment. He says, grudge not one against another. Keep in mind, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Lest ye be condemned. Lest ye be condemned. In other words, God does not look upon this lightly. Behold, the judge, Jesus Christ, standeth before the door, which goes back to, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. In light of the fact that Jesus is coming, in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is our judge, he says, grudge not one against another. This is, again, a responsibility of the members of a body of Christ. That word grudge means to have resentment. You may never show the resentment, but that's not what it says. It says, grudge not. That is, you are not to have resentment toward another member. We're members one of another. We're not to have resentment toward one another. Again, there are children of God who, members of the same body of Christ, that have more resentment toward one another than they do their very enemies outside of the church. Something's terribly wrong. Has reference to bitterness. To grudge is to have bitterness. To grudge is to have animosity. It is to have ill will. It is to have enmity toward one another. To grudge is a form of hate. And brothers and sisters in Christ, particularly brothers and sisters of the same body, should not have hate toward one another. Grudge not one another. Now, grudge not one toward another, again, is resentment, bitterness, so on, toward one another. It can be over a real grievance. That is, they have done you wrong. Let's say someone has done you wrong. Say someone in Home Baptist Church has done you terribly wrong. What is your responsibility? Does that give you the right to have ill will toward them? In the minds of many, it does. But that's not scriptural. The Bible simply says, grudge not. They may have done you wrong. You grudge not. Now, there are those today, members of the Lord's churches, who will not let go. They absolutely refuse to let go, and they get angry at anybody who tells them they should let go. That is a dangerous individual. A dangerous individual. Grudge not one against one another. So the grievance could be real. We're still not to grudge. There are perceived grievances, and there are imagined grievances. The problem with perceived and imagined grievances is the one who perceives them and imagines them, they're real to them, whether they ever occurred or not. But again, the rule's still the same. Grudge not one against another. A grudge will rob your life. It'll rob your life. It would be sad enough if that's where it stopped. But it won't stop there. Because if someone holds a grudge against someone, guess what they're going to do? They're going to talk. That's where evil speaking comes in. And pretty soon someone else will pick up the same grudge. And now instead of just one person's life being robbed, two people's lives are robbed. And where does it stop? It doesn't. Even if you get over your grudge, all the people you told may not. The damage is done. The damage is done. We have no idea of the damage that can be done. It's a serious thing. Talks about God condemning. I believe that the Lord has killed people. I believe that the Lord has taken people out, God's people, because of grudges. I believe that because of the destruction that it'll cause. It will rob you of joy. I've never seen a happy person who holds a grudge. That person does not exist. They are robbed of joy. They are robbed of time because this grudge just keeps coming back. They are robbed of focus. In other words, a grudge is a poison to the soul. Again, it would be bad enough if that's where it stopped. But because of who we are, because of our nature, it will not stop there. The poison will be spread to others. So a grudge is something that will bring spiritual devastation. And you realize that a grudge is something that requires you to walk in the flesh. It requires you to walk in the flesh. You can't hold a grudge if you walk in the spirit. So you refuse to let go of a grudge. What you are basically saying is, I refuse to walk in the spirit, because you've got to walk in the flesh to hold a grudge. You've got to. There's no getting around it. And then when you spread that grudge, now somebody else has to walk in the flesh to keep that grudge going. And on and on and on and on it goes. So it brings spiritual devastation, because walking in the flesh will bring spiritual devastation. It is something that will destroy you physically. It is like a constantly running machine. Eventually it takes a toll. Eventually the machine stops. And it's devastating physically. There are people with physical problems, and I dare say that many of their physical problems might go away if they let go of some grudges and cause a lot of physical pain and even physical ailments. It is something that will bring discouragement. People who hold grudges are discouraged. It'll deprive you of the enjoyment of the blessings of God. Person who holds a grudge cannot enjoy the blessings of God, because that grudge always keeps coming back in their mind. So to grudge, and we've spoken on this subject many times, is to possess bitterness. It is to possess bitterness. And it is something that grieves the Holy Spirit. It's mentioned along there in Ephesians 4, verse 30 and 31. It talks about grieving the Spirit of God. And the things that are mentioned is wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, bitterness. So a grudge or bitterness really is self-induced misery. It really is. It's self-induced misery. You say, that person has done me wrong and they have made my whole life miserable. No, they haven't. You've induced your own misery by holding a grudge. Now, you can blame it on them all you want to, and you'll continue the rest of your life being miserable. But a grudge is a form of self-induced misery. It is something that we not only allow in our lives, but it's something we develop. I mean, we feed it. We feed it. We get this grudge, and we just keep feeding it. It's like we can't help ourselves. We just feed it more and more and more and more. And these things are only, not to get on Facebook, but these things are only made worse by the more means of communication you have, the more a grudge can be fed. Need to keep that in mind. It is one of the most destructive and crushing attitudes in a person's life. It is something that is warned against. Notice Hebrews 12. Again, we've looked at this verse many times. But verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See several things here about bitterness, which is a grudge. First of all, it's a root sin. A root, of course, is inward. A root is growing. It doesn't stay small. It grows. A root feeds and nourishes a plant or a tree. Bitterness, we feed our own bitterness. Someone else may come along and feed it too. But our bitterness also feeds others. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why it's so destructive. So if allowed to grow, this root of bitterness will spring up. It'll spring up into a plant. And if it's allowed to grow, that plant will overshadow everything you do. Bitterness, a grudge, terrible thing. See, also, it's a source of trouble. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. The word trouble there means to disturb. When you have a grudge against someone, it disturbs you. Not only disturbs you, it disrupts your day. It disrupts everything you do. It comes into your mind. In other words, it's a source of trouble. It bothers you. It harasses you. It irritates you. It annoys you. And these things just continue to feed the grudge or the bitterness. But if you think about it, a grudge or bitterness cannot exist where there's the peace and contentment of the Lord. That's why, again, you have to walk in the flesh to keep this grudge going. It is also not only a trouble to ourselves, it is a source of defilement to others. Notice here in Hebrews 12, verse 15, and thereby, that is this root of bitterness springing up, and thereby many be defiled. To defile is to make unclean. By spreading your grudge, by manifesting your grudge, you make others unclean. Keep in mind, grudge not one another, lest you be condemned. God's going to judge that. It's a serious thing to defile someone spiritually. Believe it or not, that is more serious than defiling someone physically. Because the spiritual is more important. To defile someone spiritually is a thing that is going to bring the judgment of God. And that's what we do when we have bitterness. Thereby many be defiled. It is to make someone else impure. It is to corrupt them spiritually. That's a very serious thing, to corrupt someone else spiritually by expressing our grudge, by evil speaking. To defile is to violate the chastity of. That's a serious matter. Church will discipline people for those physical acts of defilement. What about the spiritual acts? They're far worse. They're far worse. It is to desecrate someone spiritually. That's a crime. That is a crime. That is a criminal act. To desecrate someone. To desecrate someone spiritually. It's no wonder that James says this person will be condemned. A grudge is a very serious matter. Especially, most of the Lord's churches are very small. It's hard to hide a grudge in the Lord's church. It spreads. And when it does, be prepared for judgment. Be prepared for judgment. If you're the one spreading that defilement, that grudge, be prepared for judgment. God may not strike you, but you may ruin the lives of those that you spread your filth to. It's a very serious matter. You see, a grudge or bitterness, just like a root, has the ability to zap good soil. It could zap good just like that. Just takes the nutrients right out of the soil. And therefore, it becomes a threat to other plant life. Those outside are not a real threat to how this church functions. Those who are guilty of evil speaking, those who hold grudges, they are a danger to how a church proceeds to function. So these are very serious matters because they do not just affect one person. It wouldn't be so bad if you could contain a grudge, put it in a jar, seal the jar, and put it away somewhere. But that's not the nature of a grudge. It spreads. And therefore, James writes, grudge not one against another. Therefore, James writes, speak not evil one of another. This is part of, again, these two one another's are from the negative, but they are part of our ministry to one another. The very prohibitions, speak not evil one of another, says much about our nature. Grudge not one against another says much about our nature. Not only us personally, but everyone else's nature as well. And human nature will destroy a body of Christ. That's why it's so important that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because our nature will destroy. Our nature will destroy our own spirituality. But it won't stop there. It'll destroy the spirituality of others also. So again, these are things that we must take very seriously. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's